No theme song. There's no time. It's an emergency record of LA Podcast.
Feels like we were just doing this.
You're the guest. You're not the host this time. I'm the host. Hayes Davenport, LA Podcast. My guest today, Scott Frazier. You've heard of Woodward. You've heard of Bernstein. This is Burn Ward. Scott Frazier has, with this breaking news that we have now, the indictment of a former city council member, Mitchell Englander, on some pretty serious counts that we will get into, but they involve escorts and bottle service and envelopes of cash exchanged in the bathroom. Las Vegas bathrooms.
Palm Springs, we
talked about Las Vegas bathrooms in our first episode of this show.
Yeah, we did. This was a Palm Springs bathroom.
Palm Springs bathroom,
which is
okay.
Extremely similar, I feel like.
I want to start from the beginning. I want this to be like your one-stop show. Can I have my sound back, please?
You're spiking like a lot.
How about this?
Like that.
We don't have the luxury of a producer today either. So it is what it is, but
raw feed,
and that's what's charming about it, and it conveys the intensity of the moment. Let's go back to November 7th, 2018. That was the day that the FBI, a dozen FBI agents, raided the office in City Hall of Councilmember Jose Huizar.
Yep,
who at the time, no one knew exactly what it was about. They thought it was like maybe about like bribery and kickbacks. And then a search warrant the email account of a former city employee named Ray Chan,
right,
emerged. A guy named Seamus Hughes. Sorry, no edits. Found this search warrant. That said that there was this big inquiry basically into relationships between major developers, primarily in downtown LA.
Correct.
And possibly they were looking for information about these developers and the council member and the council member's mother and brother.
Yep.
And another council member, Curran Price. And this was all, they were all looking into the email, the Gmail account of a guy named Ray Chan, who used to work in the planning department, or was the mayor's planning deputy, basically.
Building and safety.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
And was in planning before that.
Everyone, we all get very excited. We had a segment that we did for many weeks in a row on this show that I would love to do now, but we don't have the luxury of a producer to play the theme song for that segment. And then it just kind of went away.
Yeah.
And I would go months without thinking about it. Very sad for me because I enjoyed.
And we all kind of like would walk around asking each other, whatever happened to that?
Yeah.
Is anything going to happen with that? As a matter of fact, in yesterday's episode, said Jose Huizar is the big winner.
I congratulated
this election
Jose
cycle
Huizar.
He made it through his term. Well,
yeah.
We're not there yet.
No, we're not there yet. But today's story isn't about him. It does appear to, or it is, the outgrowth of this FBI investigation, but it has fallen on a different council member, Mitch Englander, who we've talked about a lot on this show. He represented Council District 12. He was the one Republican member of the city council until he pretty suddenly...
He got an itch he couldn't scratch, and that itch was sports and entertainment lobbying, according to what he told all of us.
Yes.
A month before the initial FBI raids on City Hall.
And I wish somebody go back, or don't even go back. I'm going to say that I said at the time, I floated the possibility that he was involved in some way, I would love to take credit. I may have to go back and listen.
We have almost, I think for every official that leaves office, we're kind of just like, what?
Maybe this had something to do with, maybe they did something bad. I should have, we all should have been saying that at the time. In retrospect, it all seems pretty obviously connected.
And why is that? It is actually, there is a clear locus here, and it is that both Mitch Englander and Jose Huizar, and also Curran Price, as you mentioned, named in the search warrant, that was discovered at the end of, what was that? That was like over a year ago. All of those were city council members serving on planning and land use management, which is an extremely powerful city council committee that basically has the ability to shepherd or slaughter individual real estate deals in the city. So with that much power comes obviously the potential for corruption. And now we have seen those three members of this committee be named in relationship to federal investigations. Today,
yes,
or yesterday, March 9th, 2020, we have Mitch Englander, as you said, former CD12 council member who left office at the end of 2018. He surrendered to federal authorities, there was an indictment, a grand jury indictment that was unsealed, along with the order for Englander to turn himself over in order to be arraigned. The charges that he's facing are extremely significant. He is facing 7 counts of public corruption, lying to federal officials, witness tampering. If found guilty on all of these charges, the U.S. Attorney's Office says that he is looking at a maximum of 50 years in prison, which would be, I think, probably far and away the most significant sentence that we've seen for a city official here recently. Like, you compare that to like Lee Baca and Paul Tanaka, uh-huh, and they're not serving anywhere
near
that. It is
that we have
time
to go through a little list of like, oh, how many, the last sheriff is in jail. Like, what is he in jail for?
Just he got 3 years. So he's off light compared to what Englander is looking at. But
so what was in this indictment, in this unsealed document?
Yeah.
What were they accusing Mitch Englander of doing?
So this is, and I love this story so much. I think, you know, if you follow me on Twitter, you probably noticed me just sort of spiral out of control at a certain point during the day to day, because I couldn't stop. This is like literally the sort of stimulant that I have been searching for all my life, basically.
You texted this, Alyssa, and I then you felt like Hunter S. Thompson with a handful of bennies.
I think I said Burroughs,
William S. Yeah. Burroughs. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's right.
This is my naked lunch. So okay. So the indictment, what we have being alleged by federal authorities today against Englander is the following. There is an unnamed business person who is coming into the city of Los Angeles, looking to expand his connections here, get involved in some transactions with developers, whatever. But, you know, it's like you're at a new school, you don't know anybody. So mm-hmm. What do? You whip out your checkbook and you go to the most connected person that you know. In this case, Mitch Englander, sitting on the Planning and Land Use Management Committee. And you say, I really would like to get to know some developers. Could you help me with that, maybe?
This businessman was trying to be connected to developers, not to elected officials. So we don't think the businessman is a developer.
So we don't know. We don't know that he is he or she. We don't even know it's a man. Although I would say odds are, business person A, according to this indictment, operated businesses related to major development projects. That is different than, we also have a developer A and a developer B noted here. So the specific charge is that this business person is trying to get in touch with, and we'll later in a couple minutes, we'll talk about how they do have a meeting where he is presenting to individual developers, mm-hmm. Presumably to get connected to whatever services he might provide them.
Okay.
So him and Englander hitch it off. or hit it off. They are becoming very good friends.
It is a little bit like the movie Hitch.
It's a bit like the movie Hitch.
Where business person A is Kevin James saying, basically, teach me how to dance.
Yeah. So then Englander and this person, along with several staffers, we will absolutely come back to that in a second, take a trip to Las Vegas at the beginning of June, June 1st of 2017. This is all happening 2017. These people meet, they go to Las Vegas. The business person is getting like the VIP treatment in Las Vegas, and he is handing it all around. They get limo rides. They get bottle service at a nightclub. They're having $3,000 dinners.
But bottle service, I think, amounted to
$25,000.
$25,000.
Taking limos up and down the strip. I love that the indictment throws in that he also paid for like the cab over from McCarran Airport, yep. Which is probably what, like $30.
and is this the escorts? Is this where we get the escorts?
Before we even get to the escorts, though, okay. that is coming.
Okay.
The other thing mentioned here is that this individual gives
the business person.
Yeah, the business person gives Englander a large amount of chips to go gamble with. Mm-hmm. And then they go and they gamble, and then whatever, they like give some back to the guy at the end of the day. So a ton of financial gifts and services being rendered, culminating, as you mentioned, at the end of the night, where apparently two escorts are ordered, one of whom goes to Mitch Englander's room with him. Unclear where the second one goes.
Okay.
However, so that is the first trip.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is,
wonder why those costs were not itemized. We're talking about the pointing it out.
And business person A, as mentioned in this indictment, was never reimbursed for the escort services.
Yeah, you're supposed to file a report with city ethics.
So the second trip was then after this huge Las Vegas blowout. Then like 10 days later, they go to Palm Springs to Morongo.
10 days later?
Yeah. So they got back from Vegas like the 3rd of June, and then this charity tournament in Palm Springs was on June 12th, 2017 at Morongo Casino.
Golf tournament.
Charity golf tournament. They raised like $70,000 for kids. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else raised a couple grand? Was Mitch Englander, who received $10,000, which, I mean, that's a pretty good clip for a golf tournament that only raised $70,000 total. $10,000 just handed to him in an envelope in a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then arranged while at this Palm Springs golf tournament, we're going to go back and we're going to have a meeting with a developer. They have that meeting. They say, the developer says, hey, this was great. I'm really looking forward to that presentation. It sounds like everybody's having a great summer, right? It's kind of like Caddyshack. Like, they're all just like fucking partying. Everything is going really well, except for one issue, which is when they returned from Las Vegas, one of the staffers who was on this Las Vegas hullabaloo made a call to somebody else and said, I had the time of my life in Las Vegas. There were girls, there were bottle service. And that call was intercepted by the FBI.
Lawfully intercepted, it said, which means that a judge had allowed the FBI to tap somebody's phone at City Hall
prior to like 2017, like years before the Huizar.
Doesn't have to be years. Not before the Huizar thing. Let's do the timeline.
Okay.
But yes, you're
well, no. Well, yes. the raid on Huizar's office was November 2018.
Correct. That is when they did the raid. They had the thumb drive sniffing dog. They mm-hmm. brought out the box labeled fundraiser. All the hits. If you want to go back and find any of our Say It Ain't So episodes, it's all in there. But yes, so this is over a year before that. It's like a year and a half before that. There was a judicially permitted wiretap on this particular call where somebody was talking about receiving benefits during this Las Vegas trip, at which point the FBI immediately starts reaching out to individuals who were part of this trip.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about who those individuals are. And then I really want to get into this timeline because it is fascinating. So we have business person A, as I mentioned, new to LA.
And there is no business person B, correct?
There is no business
so
person B.
So we have the business person.
The business person. We have defendant Englander.
Yeah.
We have city staffer A. City staffer A, I missed this entirely the first time around. Emily Alpert Reyes and her story in the LA Times actually picked up on the fact that this was not Englander. This is a different city mm-hmm. council member. City staffer A was city council member A's special assistant from 2013 to 2018. Put a pin in that one.
Okay.
City staffer B was a high-ranking staff member for defendant Englander until June 2017, which is right when the Vegas trip happened.
I like that they give you just enough fun.
Oh, it's so,
to
it's
basically
so fun.
Reveal these people's identities, but just like just let you just have the experience of like getting to Google around a little bit. Feels like they wrote this with Scott in mind. Anyway, go ahead.
Lobbyist A and lobbyist B, not a ton on these two. Lobbyist B was a close associate of defendant Englander. Then we have the developers, of course. And so who is involved in this, and do we have enough information to tell? The biggest question that I had off of the bat, and a lot of other people, Kyle Stokes with KPCC and Emily Alpert Reyes with LA Times had, was who is this city staffer B? This is a person who worked for Englander, who was all over this indictment, who was interviewed by the FBI, who
in 2017, right? In
yes,
yeah.
So shortly after the feds became aware of the Vegas trip, they started reaching out to city staffer B, this unknown person. They started reaching out to the business person, trying to get a sense of what benefits, if any, were being provided to the two council members that were under investigation now. So the unnamed council member and Mitch Englander. They interviewed city staffer B, who is described as partaking in all of these illicit benefits, with the exception of the escort.
Although we don't know where escort B went.
We do not know where escort B went. Who had been directly involved in coordinating the lies that Mitch Englander eventually told the business person to tell to the FBI. Things that, and also because they were trying to create the appearance that they had backdated or that they had reimbursed the benefits that they had received from this person, city staffer B is also mentioned as having backdated a check. So it would appear as though he had reimbursed that individual after this Vegas trip, mm-hmm. Even though he did not do it until months after having his interview with the FBI. So who is this person? Well, I have a strong suspicion that it is none other than John Lee, current city council member who replaced Mitch Englander on the city council after his defeat of Lorraine Lundquist in mm-hmm. last year's special election. John Lee was chief of staff to Mitch Englander.
High ranking.
As high ranking as it gets. He was chief of staff from a period of like basically when Mitch Englander took over this position from Greg Smith in the early 2010s until, as mentioned in this indictment, June 2017. I actually went back on the on the internet, and I was able to find things from very early June saying, "Come say goodbye to John Lee. He's mm-hmm. leaving us for a tour in the private sector, and we wish him well." June 6th, 2017.
And also Emily Alpert Reyes. There was a former right. Englander aide who did leave his office around the same time, Doug Tripp, and he unequivocally says, "It's not me.
It's not me." So
I didn't go to Vegas. Like, look elsewhere.
So then, I just want to read something that I think will make this clear almost beyond a shadow of a doubt. So we have a passage in this indictment where they basically just say, we contacted city staffer B on July 11th, 2017. Then they contacted him again July 13th and just were saying, "We want voluntary interviews with you." And then in August, it says FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office interviewed city staffer B with his counsel present.
Mm-hmm.
So John Lee took to Twitter today after being asked by Emily Alpert Reyes, "Are you the person who went to Las Vegas?"
And his 341 followers. This is why you don't really bother generating a huge following on Twitter. It's for this situation. You could say like, "Well, I posted a statement for almost no one to read."
Here's his statement, word for word. "One of two, no threading. I was in Las Vegas with Councilmember Englander in June 2017, and I did everything in my power to pay for and reimburse expenses related to this trip. I was unaware of any illegal activities for which Councilmember Englander is being charged." We'll definitely come
back
to
that. Good luck, boss. Thanks for the goodbye party.
Two of two.
Keep in touch.
"I completely cooperated with the FBI when they contacted me for voluntary interviews in July and August of 2017 and will continue to do so."
Those are the dates that city staffer B was interviewed by the FBI. He is absolutely city staffer B. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence to suggest this as well. The fact that this document is being unsealed the week after Election Day, yeah, after John Lee was running for re-election, we know how the FBI feels about the dirty business of interfering with elections.
Oh, yeah.
Better to let these situations just like play themselves out.
Hey, let the voters have their say.
Yeah,
in the model.
And Lorraine, maybe don't close that office. Maybe keep that field staff handy. Get ready for one last ride, potentially, to run for this office yet again, because the FBI decided it wasn't worth it for voters to know that this person had been under investigation for more than 2 years.
Yeah.
Three years.
This is the thing. So city staffer B, as I said, is all over this indictment. John Lee, if he is city staffer B, probably is the person who tipped Mitchell Englander off to the fact that there was an FBI investigation into him. That is important because we haven't even gotten to this part yet, which is really fun.
What he does after he finds out the FBI is on his ass.
It's unfortunate that this is the series of events. As I said, July 11th, they contact John Lee and they say, "Hey, we'd like to talk to you about something." Doesn't say whether or not he responded. July 13th, 2 days later, we'd really like to talk to you about something. July 19th, they contact the business person. And they interview him on July 19th, a week after trying to get in touch with John Lee. Then the next sentence, on or about August 10th, 2017, mm-hmm. Business person A began cooperating with the FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office in the federal investigation. Oops, you missed your chance. I mean, and then a week after that, on August 16th, they interview city staffer B. So they don't actually interview or talk to Mitch Englander until September, at which point he's already aware of the investigation. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that they have talked to two people. One of them is...
They haven't talked to city staffer A yet.
They don't talk to city staffer A. Not in this indictment.
Okay.
We know that they have...
Do we want to talk about city staffer A briefly?
Let's save it. We'll wrap around. Okay. So we know they've talked to two people. We know that they have talked to
the business person, and city staffer B.
One of those people is a cooperating witness
at this point.
The other one is city staffer B. So the fact is, we only know that somebody tipped off Englander to the investigation. Because his next action is to message the business person mm-hmm. and say, hey, remember that trip that we took to Las Vegas? I realized I never paid you back for that. What do I owe you for?
Takes time to settle accounts.
What do I owe you for this wild, raucous weekend that we had? And then, it's unclear, but it seems likely to me that, like you said, one of the two city staffers named in this indictment is probably the person who let Englander know before he actually spoke to the FBI that he had the feds on his tail. So then we get into the meat of the accusations, which is where Englander begins in a series of interviews telling lies about what his knowledge is of the investigation, anything that he might have discussed with parties outside of his counsel and his spouse. He lies about that repeatedly. And then in a number of conversations with the business person who is, again, working with the feds, is talking to Englander and saying, hey, I'm getting these calls from the FBI. What should I do? What should I say? Englander directs him to lie to the FBI, including in one really just incredibly memorable passage where they meet at a fundraiser for Englander. And they like drive around the corner or something. Englander mm-hmm. turns up the volume on the stereo. It says to obstruct any potential listening devices, and then begins directing him again about what he should say if he's asked, for example, about the escort. Mm-hmm. And first he says, tell them that you called the escort service and it was a wrong number. And then he corrects himself and says, wait, just say you don't know anything about that.
Just forget, just lie completely.
Don't say it was a wrong number.
Does it say it was a fundraiser for Englander's campaign or a fundraiser that he was involved in?
It does not say that it was for his campaign.
I just want to say, Mitchell Englander was always very involved in fundraising for the North Valley Family YMCA, and there was he signed letters to donors. He does a lot of behested payments for the YMCA, to the point that I remember, right after he resigned, he had just done one of these events. And so I just like the idea of like they're at this YMCA like benefit fundraiser doing donuts around the parking lot, this loud car, all these kids are like looking like, why is the council member driving around the music all the way turned up in this car?
Oh my God. I'm not sure that's what it was, but
yeah, so that was
to think about.
That was, now we're in February 6th of 2018, still months and months before the former council member ends up resigning. But they are having meeting after meeting. Englander and the business person are having meeting after meeting where they're trying to coordinate what they're going to say to the FBI.
Yep. And we think at this point, business person A has fully flipped and is wearing a wire.
But presumably, yes.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, the detail of turning up the volume in the car, it's either you either have a listening device mm-hmm. or you have a cooperating witness. In yep. this case, probably both. So we get into February again, more meetings, more interviews with the FBI, more lying. So that's where we get our seven charges from. Now, I do want to come back, like you said, to City Staffer A.
Yes.
Okay. City Staffer A. How did we describe this person at the top? We have somebody who was a special assistant, that's a particular phrasing,
mm-hmm.
To City Council Member A from a period from 2013 to early 2018.
Not Mitch Englander. This is a different council member.
This is a different council member and
undisclosed at this point.
And we know that because of one, literally, this city council member is almost nowhere in the second city council member is almost nowhere in the indictment. We have one particular paragraph, which I already alluded to earlier, which is fascinating. I'll read it. Beginning on or about June 5th, 2017, this is immediately following the Las Vegas trip, but before the Palm Springs trip, based on information obtained in a judicially authorized intercepted phone call referencing benefits received by public officials from business person A, the FBI and USAO attorney's office began specifically investigating whether business person A had provided personal benefits to Defendant Englander, City Staffer A, Council Member A, or City Staffer B, and whether those public officials, including Defendant Englander, had accepted such personal benefits. This is the only time that we get reference to Council Member A.
Mm-hmm.
So what we said earlier is like one of the most interesting things about this. It implies that at the point in time that this Las Vegas trip occurred, the FBI was already sitting on top of the Planning and Land Use Management Committee for reasons that we don't know, or do we?
Yeah.
Is it actually something that we know very well? And if we look at the existing reporting about our Jose Huizar scandal, one of the things that comes out is that the term special assistant is a very particular one. It's not like a stock position that council members have. However, there is somebody who describes themselves personally as a special assistant in existing reporting, and that person is George Esparza, who was special assistant to City Council Member Jose Huizar of CD14, ending in early 2018. He left in January 2018 to go work with Wendy Carrillo.
And as far as we know, is still working in that office. Yes,
I believe so.
Okay,
I believe so.
Yeah.
So he left in January of 2018, which is again right in the middle of this period of intense investigation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any information in this particular document that says whether or not City Staffer A, who I believe to be George Esparza, has been interviewed by the FBI. However, in the previous reporting that we have,
mm-hmm.
we have a very intense quote that we talked about at the time, where George Esparza says that he got a chance to see how Jose Huizar did business, didn't like what he saw, and got out while he still had a chance to protect his career.
Yeah.
He goes as far as saying, in regards to the investigation, something along the lines of, I did what I had to do to protect myself, which sounds like, and we said at the time, it sounds like he's cooperating with the federal authorities.
I'm sure that's what he said on the phone call, by the way, that the feds were tapping at the time. Like, hey, I just went to Vegas, and I got to say, I'm concerned about the way the Jiglitter does business. I'm sure it wasn't
that. They took
out
this bag of gambling chips. I don't like what I saw. I'm leaving 7 months from now.
Okay.
This is important. The timeline for the Huizar thing is very important because, yes, as you mentioned, we don't have the raid coming until late in 2018. However, the executed search warrants were much earlier than that. Mm-hmm. The initial executed search warrants, in one of our episodes, we talked about George Esparza, once it had been determined that he was a person of interest in, mm-hmm, this investigation, when the Ray Chan search warrant was unearthed, we were able to find other warrants, one of which was executed against George Esparza's Gmail account, along with Ricky Zhang's Gmail account and Jose Huizar's SBC Global account. All of those were filed on February 15th, 2017, executed on May 15th, 2017, then cut to June 5th, only 3 weeks later, and they are apparently live on a wiretap.
Mm-hmm.
And who would they be wiretapping? I mean, we know that they are already looking at George Esparza and Jose Huizar. I would say it's extremely within the realm of possibility that one of those two individuals was either caller or recipient on this phone call where George Esparza gets back from Vegas and is talking about the material benefits that he has received, which then leads directly to this entire investigation into Englander. We already had the FBI presence established at Planning and Land Use for over a year before the Huizar stuff breaks, for at least a period of a couple of months before even Englander is aware of it.
But only really at one council member's office at Planning and Land Use, it seems like. And it just happened. They were so flagrant about their activities that Mitchell Englander got caught up in the web of this investigation, which makes you wonder what they missed if only a few weeks after they set up this wiretap, they have this trip to Vegas.
They get this fucking huge score.
But it's not, here's the thing. I'm willing to say it's not a coincidence that the only time they ever take like a huge illegal trip to Vegas and party on like tens of thousands of business person money that they never report. Like, no, that happens all the time. And this happened to be the one that was caught up in an FBI wiretap. I wouldn't be surprised if there have been more since.
I honestly, and so here's the thing, is that the Ray Chan search warrant also involves a question of turning over anything related to trips to Las Vegas.
Yes.
Ray Chan is not involved in this indictment as far as we can tell in any way.
Yeah.
The Englander one, that is. So the question becomes this is either a reference to the same Las Vegas trip, which is bad, or it's a reference to a different Las Vegas trip,
yes,
which is somehow worse. This does seem like, and if I were any of the named people in the original Chan search warrant, they have to be they're screwed, right?
Yeah.
This is something where the question, I think, has been, does the FBI have enough to stick a case on somebody? And we've been like, oh, well, it's been so long since the Huizar raid, maybe they just don't have anything and they're just kind of letting this story quietly die. Now, that is clearly not the case. And the only question is Englander only the first of how many dominoes to fall in this investigation? Because clearly, if somebody like George Esparza or Jose Huizar is talking about corruption like this in such a way that it leads to the direct indictment of Mitch Englander, you have to think that they have sufficient evidence to get whoever else in Planning and Land Use that they want.
Yeah.
in planning and land use, I mean, like, these individuals have brushed up against a number of other offices. I mean, like, Ray Chan, there was a lot of evidence, was going out and, like, getting behested payments from people in development for David Rue's office, another city council member. Current Price, we still don't know the extent of his involvement in this. We really don't know anything, because Mitch Englander was not one of the names requested in the Ray Chan search warrant.
Became a totally separate line of inquiry, which, I mean, by the time that the Chan search warrant was issued in July of 2018, it was a wrap for England.
So they didn't really need, they're like, we're good on
it was already done.
Yeah.
That was done and done. So I do, like, the biggest thing now, I guess it comes down to a question of order, order in which they do all of this. They needed those physical files, the fundraising files, the thumb drive files from Huizar, which kind of required that they hold on for a while longer before they went about making things public. I do wonder what exactly is going to be the next to come out from this, but it seems like it's going to be something. I mean, so we have, in terms of council members who are directly or tangentially linked to this, we have former council member Mitch Englander now indicted. We have Jose Huizar, obviously the center of the investigation. Curran Price named, also investigating into whether or not his wife was taking trips overseas using money from developers. We have John Lee currently sitting in the Englander seat. And the chief of staff for outgoing former city council president, Herb Wesson. Five.
And don't forget, I mean, like, Ray Chan worked in Garcetti's
office. Was appointed by Garcetti too.
Yes.
Yeah. So that is really just obscene. We have talked a lot about the sort of, like, boys club atmosphere that would lead our council members to protect somebody like John Lee. I mean, we talked about it yesterday, for God's sake, instead of advocating for Lorraine Lundquist. And there is a very cynical reason that makes sense, which is simply that they want somebody who is in the club and, like, down with whatever shady goings on are happening in City Hall. I do think this indictment alone, even though John Lee has not so far been charged with any criminal wrongdoing, provides substantial grounds for the people of this city to say that he is not a legitimate member of this body and that he should resign immediately. The things that he is directly tied to are so corrupt that you could never, ever trust him to be, like, just behave as a an ethical member of the city council going forward, and I don't see how he could possibly regain that standing.
And by the way, even in terms of reimbursing expenses for the Vegas trip, the document says that in September 2017, the businessman received a FedEx package with checks from Englander and a City Hall staff member, and both checks were for $442. Wow. So there might be a little bit of outstanding. If they want to settle those debts, there might be a little more to pay off.
They only had one.
they're dipping up the check. Yeah, we had one drink. Like, I tried the appetizer.
We didn't want the, like, mixed Moscato treatment.
Yeah, but, you know, I got, when the massage lady came up, I got, like, a neck massage. Wow. I mean, this is, like, we have no idea what the fallout from this is going to be. It could be yet another truly annoying development where we have to wait another year and a half almost to get more clarity on it. The FBI does not care about this podcast. No. But I think it speaks to larger issue, and it is to some extent an indictment of, like, you get the sense when you find out about this stuff that everyone knows to some extent, like, and they just act with such impunity. Mm-hmm. John Lee knew he was under FBI investigation and decided the thing to do was run for city council.
Crazy, right?
And it worked. So far, he has won twice. And just like in the culture of City Hall, where they would have to be like totally oblivious to not know that an FBI investigation was like kind of circling these individuals, like people talk to each other.
Yeah.
They went ahead and endorsed him. So like most of them endorsed him for re-election this last cycle. And at the very least, like you talk about when council members talk about pay to play culture and stuff, they don't say there are members of this body that are deeply corrupt.
No.
They talk about they don't want the illusion of pay to play culture. And so like they want reform. So nobody's like even like would suspect for a second would ever think that there's corruption going on.
Yeah, no, I mean the root thing, right? That where it's like I don't want to allow developers to provide max contributions are $800.
Individual developers, he doesn't want to be able to give $800 donations because he talks a lot about like we don't want people to even think that there's a pay-to-play culture
but
in City Hall.
Spouses and their employees and their employees' spouses. But then also just the most flagrant, like I'm going to hand you $10,000 in an envelope in the bathroom of the fucking Morongo casino, that seems like it requires a larger hammer somewhat than what Rue is offering to bring to the table. But you're right, they don't ever say there is corruption in this body. They say
it is absolutely lousy with corruption. And to even be talking about campaign donations barely scratches the surface. None of this is about campaign donations.
We haven't even talked
about personal enrichment.
I am living for the whatever day comes where we find out what was going on with the allegations around Oceanwide Plaza, which the developer has walked away from. I mean, they have like money problems, etc. But that they just are leaving that unbuilt forever following these allegations that we still don't have an answer for of corruption in the permitting and approval process to get that thing built.
It would make a good, I mean, if the feds have any taste for poetry, it would make a great prison. We'll be talking about this more. I'm so excited to have recorded an emergency podcast with my guest, Scott Frazier. Over the next few days, I hope that we have to record another one. That is my hope. That even by the time this comes out tomorrow morning, we're like, God, we're
what
late
are we
on this again. Thank you for listening to LA Podcast. We'll be back very soon. Oh, and also, wait. Today was the day that Mike Feuer chose to say, like, by the way, I'm running for mayor.
What could go wrong there?
I think that was smart. Another guy whose office was investigated by the FBI pretty recently decided to say, like, oh, my stuff today doesn't look so bad. We'll be back very, very shortly on LA Podcast. Bye.